all have sinned. All are sinners. Nobody is not guilty. That's what we've been hearing. The wrath of God has been revealed, he says. Today, the righteousness of God is revealed, and from here on. So we're going to see then the description of God's plan after showing that everybody is a sinner, worthy of hell, the wrath of God's on him. Now he's going to say, but, big but now, is the way he starts off. And so we're going to see first that God's plan of salvation is revealed, verses 21 to 23. He's going to say it's thoroughly scriptural. See, if you aren't careful, you think, well, the Old Testament over here, that's all the law. Now we're going to come to some new things, and there's no connection. Well, that's not true. It conforms the new revelation that he's giving us here about the salvation that's available was born back here. It's spoken of back here. And we're going to see that in two places. It's thoroughly scriptural. It conforms to the standards of the law. He says in verse 21, but now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law. Oh, the law said there's going to be a plan apart from the law? That's what it says. But now, as I mentioned, but now, in contrast to verse 20. Verse 20, it said, therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. But now, apart from the law, comes righteousness. Now, one of the ways to refer to the Old Testament would be the law and the prophets. Looking back at the Old Testament, the law was the first five books, as you know. And then the rest of it is the prophets. Well, that's what he's talking about here. The law. The law witnessed to this salvation by grace. Abraham, Genesis 15:6. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. So, under the law of Moses, they received the sacrificial system, also in the law. Sacrificial system in which the animal sacrifices covered the sins. Back here, the sins weren't taken away. They weren't removed. They were covered by the skins of the animal. Because the animal's just an animal. He can't die for a man, except as God provided this sacrificial system in which the blood of the animal was spread over the mercy seat. We'll talk about that mercy seat in just a minute. But Abraham believed God. It was counted to him for righteousness. And then comes the sacrificial system that covered the sin, didn't take it away. Just covered it. Because, he says, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 4, says, for it was not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins. Every time an animal was sacrificed and the blood was sprinkled on the mercy seat back here, and that mercy seat then was a picture of, you know, above the mercy seat is where God dwelt. And as that blood was placed over the sin, and inside of that ark were the Ten Commandments. They had broken those Ten Commandments. And so the blood of the animal is placed over that, and that covered it. God was able then to hold off the wrath, and he kind of gave an IOU. Every time an animal is killed, God says, I owe you. I'll pay one of these days. I'm going to pay. And so all the way through, they're all piling up. And in Romans 5:12, he said, Jesus died for the sins that were past. All those sins are placed on Jesus Christ as he was hanging on the cross. And all the sins, the future. Every sin that man has sinned, is sinning, is going to sin, all those were placed on Christ and they took it away. But it wasn't possible for the blood of bulls and goats to take it away. And then He says it conforms to the statements from the prophets. The law said that God could save man by faith. Well, look at this being witnessed to by the prophets. Well, where is that? Well, it could be anywhere after Deuteronomy. David wrote this, "Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity." Psalm 32. And then Paul wrote about what David said in Romans 4:4-8. He says, "Just as David also described the blessedness of the man to whom God imputes righteousness apart from works." So it was in there. It was in the law, it was in the prophets. So it's a thoroughly scriptural concept. But it's also thoroughly suitable. Verses 22 and 23. It has a unique approach. It is through faith alone without works. And to us, we've heard that. You're going to hear more of that. That's what Romans is about. Salvation by grace through faith plus not one thing. It says, it's through faith alone without works. Verse 22. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Christ Jesus. He doesn't add anything to that faith. You can't add anything to that faith. Faith gives you forgiveness of sin and eternal life. What more do you want? You can't have any more than that. So, if he did, if he added anything to it, then faith would no longer be faith. Ephesians 2:8-9, we all know it. "For by grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." That's what would happen, right? If I could do something and I made my boast, Ironside in his book on Romans says, if anybody could get to heaven on his own works, and he would go to heaven and he would be up there saying, "Look what I did, I'm here, and I did it all, I'm the one." And he said some angels would grab hold of him and throw him off the side and he'd never come back again. Yeah, because it's totally apart from that, it would put Jesus' death at nothing. So, it's unique. Totally free. You know, other religions, and think in your head, religions. Do you know any religions beside Bible religion, true Bible religion, that doesn't have works? Oh, you have to do this and this and this. In fact, I hear a lot of people saying, using the word, "Well, you gotta tithe." Make sure you tithe. Why? Well, that hits close to the heart. Gotta have money. And so they use that as part. You know, if you don't tithe, a believer has to tithe. That's all it is. So they keep adding things. Any of those fringe things out there, all works. So, it comes to all who believe without distinction. All who believe. So while there's no works, and all you do is believe, it's true also that anyone who believes has eternal life. There is no difference. No difference. What do you think he means by no difference? Doesn't matter whether you're Jew or Greek, Gentile. Nothing. That idea, I think, that one little sentence there, anticipates the Jew-Gentile emphasis that he's going to come up with in just a little while. So, it's universal in its appeal. For all have sinned and continually fall short of the glory of God. All sinned. Now, you might say to yourself, "Oh yeah, I remember I sinned a while ago. Last week? Last year?" No. You might say, "Well, that's why I'm a sinner." No. That's not what he's saying. All sinned. I know your scripture probably says all have sinned. There's a little have in there. And that's fine. They all said it. But there's no have there. It's all sinned. It's a point action. Where in the world did I sin? Did that have a sin that would make me have the wrath of God on me? Let's see, now where would that be? Oh, I know. Way back there. Adam. Adam sinned. He spoke for the race. And when he sinned, the race fell. Everyone born of Adam is one who is under the wrath of God. For all have sinned. All sinned. And continually, that's what they do. At one point they all sin. And then continually they fall short of the glory of God. So these two words, all sinned, are found in Romans 5:12. And there the context is obvious and refers to Adam's sin. Everyone has sinned. See, I stress that because some are saying we become sinners because we sin. Do you ever find somebody who you're witnessing to and it's a, well, I don't sin. I'm not bad. Oh, yes, you did. You sinned in Adam. See, we're not sinners because we sin. We sin because we're sinners. So it's okay if you say to a person, now, you're a sinner. You sin, right? And then you ought to go on and say, yeah, the reason you sin is because you sinned in Adam. You became a sinner when Adam sinned. And then, from then on, we go with the present tense, the glory of God has failed. We miss it. So here's the dilemma. God loves the human race, and God loves with infinite love. He's not like your pop-pop. Remember pop-pop? That's what my granddaughter calls me, pop-pop. And you're there visiting grandma and grandpop on the farm or whatever. You do something wrong. And your father says, you don't do that. Don't come here. And pop-pop comes along and says, now wait a minute, son. Come over here. And well, yeah, it wasn't so bad. Yeah. God's not like that. God can't be like that because God is holy. Infinitely holy. So he can't do that. Because God is holy, the price has to be paid. The wages of sin is death. We're going to see later on in chapter 6. So, God became a man because man has to pay for that sin. So, God became a man. And he lived as a man. And by the way, if you aren't careful, you get the idea, oh yeah, Jesus came here and after all, he's God. And they even have little things like Jesus was playing when he was a little baby, a little infant. He made a bird out of clay. And the bird flew away. Come on, please. That's one of the things. But they'll say, oh yeah, Jesus walking along and they're saying, you're this, you're that. And he's holy. So he said, I don't care. Of course he cared. He did not use his omni attributes the whole time he was here on the earth. Those things that he did by the power of the Father. The easiest way to see this is in chapter 11 of John. We talked about this when we were there. Jesus did not use his omni attributes at all. Relied upon the Father. And he says, I say this because I want everybody to hear that you are the one. Well, anyway, what I'm saying to you is, he came as a man. He died for the human race. Like those animals died. Like those lambs died. That's why John the Baptist said, John 1:29, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Pointing to Jesus. He was a lamb. So, verse 19 of 1 Corinthians 5 says, that is, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them. And also in 2 Corinthians 5:21, he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So God's plan of salvation is revealed. God's plan of salvation is righteous. It's in the Old Testament. And it does not ignore man's condition. It meets it head on. Not like the old grandpa. It says, you are a sinner. Meets it head on. And it pays the price. The death of Christ on the cross paid for that sin. the sin of Adam, and all the sins in between. The substitute. When Jesus Christ died, I died. Remember Carl Ridge Press? Yeah, Kennedy. He had a way of presenting the gospel. And he had in there the question he asked a person, when you get up to heaven and you see St. Peter at the gate, and St. Peter's going to say to you, why should I let you in heaven? Or maybe Jesus is there. Why am I going to let you in my heaven? What are you going to answer? And the person may say, well, I do this, I do that, all our good works, nah. No, no. Now, D. James Kennedy's dead. I wonder if there was somebody asking that question, and I wonder what he said. What would you say? Why should I let you into my heaven? Because my sin has already been paid for. I've got the receipt. John 3:16. That's it. Jesus Christ paid my debt. My debt is paid. The debt of the sin of the whole world is paid. Believer or unbeliever, the sin has already been paid for on the cross. Now, man's ruined condition is seen in verse 24. Being justified freely by his grace. The word grace is used in Romans 24 times. And it means unmerited favor. Rather, I think a better definition would be favor in spite of demerit. It isn't just that I don't deserve God's favor. I deserve God's wrath. And so grace is giving favor in spite of my demerit. See, justification means to declare righteous. And that's our standing in Christ. Not make righteous, but to declare righteous. God declares me not guilty before him because of my faith in Jesus Christ. Now, declared righteous means that in God's eyes, I am righteous. That is, that's my standing. I am righteous. I have the righteousness of Christ. Now, to make righteous is something else, and that's our sanctification. I'm declared righteous, now live that. And you have the power of the Holy Spirit in you to do that. So, justification has been defined as if I had never sinned. Well, just as if I'd never sinned. That's okay, but it leaves out some things. See, angels can say that. Angels are in a standing just as if they'd never sinned because they never sinned. But I did sin. And I deserve God's wrath. They don't deserve God's wrath. I deserve God's wrath. They have never sinned. They stand before a holy God and sing, holy, holy, holy. But we have sinned. We sinned in Adam. And we headed for eternal damnation. Now we have been forgiven in Christ. That's a whole another thing. There's a song, and you've heard it before. Holy, holy is what the angels sing, and I expect to help them make the courts of heaven ring. But when I sing redemption's story, they will fold their wings, for angels never felt the joy that my salvation brings. It's not just as if I'd never sinned. I have sinned. And now he has forgiven me. What a relief. Now, the redemption's price is in 24b, 25a. Through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. That's how he did it. The redemption that's in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith. There are three results of the atonement. The atonement is what Christ did on the cross. Three results. First of all, is a sinward result. That is redemption. He took care of my sin. He paid for my sin. That's redemption. It's paying the price. This word is used here is the one to means to pay a ransom price. He paid that by his death. That's the sin word and a redemption. And then there's the man word, reconciliation. Man was away from God. And this God's Christ's death on the cross brought reconciliation. Now, man is reconciled to God. God is not reconciled to man. One of our secretaries way back in the 60s, had a little sign on her desk. And it says, if you're not as close to God as you used to be, guess who moved? You moved away from God. Man moved away from God. Man needs to be reconciled, brought back. And the death on the cross does that. And then there's the Godward aspect. And that is called propitiation, satisfaction. It's the same word in asterion, which is used in the Greek Old Testament to represent the mercy seat. God became a mercy seat. Christ became a mercy seat for us. So, the satisfaction of the mercy seat paid the price for the sin in his death. So Jesus, our substitute, paid our debt in full on the cross. And we receive it by faith. That's the only way we can receive it by faith, because Christ did it for us. And believing in Jesus Christ for our forgiveness and eternal life. I think the best verse that expresses that is John 3:16. Will you say it with me? John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Very good. That's it. That's the thing. Whoever believes in him will have everlasting life. You can see more of that in the 10 sermons on grace. What is the grace gospel? On the website, on the back of your bulletin, you see the website. Now, there's a royal proclamation, verses 25b, 26a. To demonstrate the righteousness, because in his forbearance God has passed over the sins that were previously committed. Passed over, remember, sacrifice. Because of the future plan of salvation, God did not punish the sins of the people with eternal death prior to the cross. That's why he did all that. And that, the animals were sacrificed as pictures. Pictures of the one sacrifice that was to come. Stretched from Genesis chapter 3, way back here. When was the first blood shed? God killed an animal and made a garment for them to hide their nakedness. Right? Animal, a sacrifice. And then it went on. Lasted until, let's see, back to here, cross. The day that Christ was crucified was a Passover day. And people had come early, I'm sure, to the priest to offer sacrifice. And it was a legal sacrifice before Christ died. And they offered those sacrifices, and that's the last time those sacrifices are legal. They don't mean a thing now. Whatever they've done, whatever they do, nothing. Only Christ. Because Christ took place of all those. It's over. And then he says, this is to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness. Paul is saying, now that Jesus has died on the cross, it can be seen that God is righteous in justifying the sinful mankind. If anyone were looking at the whole situation from a helicopter and see all the things that had gone on here, that God is an animal, is going to be sacrificed for the sin of a person? No, that doesn't seem right. But then, after we got to hear it, when Christ is crucified, then it says that God is seen to be just in justifying the sinful mankind. Now, the righteous character of God, verse 26, that he might be just and justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. The righteous character of God is intact. He's righteous and seen to be righteous. See, all mankind is not automatically saved. Well, if that's true, why aren't they? Jesus Christ died for the world, right? Well, there's a hitch. That is, he paid the payment for the sin. And we simply have to go to Jesus and pick up the receipt. That's it. That's basically what it is. And receive the gift that has been waiting for them since Christ died. That's what it is. So, Righteousness is revealed. God's plan is revealed. God's plan is righteous. And God's plan is reasonable. It eliminates all human pride. Where is the boasting then? Verse 27. It is excluded by what law? By the law of works. No. But by the law of faith. Not by the law of works, by the law of faith. See, faith is a fact of life. We all do it. When you sat down on that bench, on that pew, did you wonder what it was going to hold you? No. But you have faith in it. Oh, that'll hold me. Fine. One of these days you'll sit in a chair and it won't hold you. But that's faith. We do faith. Faith, faith. We believe in a lot of things. And we live lives of faith. So we exercise that. But all of those ways are not saving faith. Faith that saves is a faith that is placed in Jesus Christ. And it's placed in the same person, Jesus. Everybody, no matter who you are in the whole world ever, you place faith in Jesus Christ. That's it. Faith in Him. Same amount of faith. That's all it takes. It takes faith. Just believe what He says. It's not how much faith I have. It's the object. I go to Him, to Jesus, in faith. St. John puts it this way. Let me read a little section. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which He has testified in His Son. He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. He who believes not God has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the testimony that God has given of His Son. And this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. It's that simple. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. The Jews were proud of their keeping the law. Oh, remember Jesus talked about the one who came and they could hold that coin in a certain way and like that, and it would go out and bang, make a big thing against that glass of the brass thing. Bang, and everybody looked around. Oh, boy, he must have given a lot of money. That's a lot of noise. And then the widow came on her mite and just brought it in. He said she did more than he did. Yeah, but they were proud. Proud of themselves. Look at all that. I fast 6 times a week and I tithe of the mint and anise. Every little thing. They grow little herbs and they tithe 1/10 of that. Proud of that. My sister was one of those. She tithed when she, remember they had the deposit on soda bottles? She'd take the soda bottles back and she would tithe that money. I said, you tithe that much? Anyway, proud. Proud of doing all those things. Didn't keep it all. That's the problem. Oh, we keep the law. Well, not all of it. James says, if you miss one thing, you've missed the whole law. You got to keep it all. So, salvation is by grace through faith, and that excludes all boasting. Did you ever hear that before? You're going to hear more of it, because that's exactly what Romans is about. Jesus paid it all to Him I owe. And the ground at the foot of the cross is level. No one stands any higher than anyone else. It eliminates pride. It eliminates human prejudice. Verses 29-30. Or is He the God of the Jews only? Is He not also the God of the Gentiles? Here we are, back to that idea. Yes, of the Gentiles also, since there is one God who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised by faith. The Jew has no greater position than the Gentile and vice versa. There's no greater privilege for the Gentile in the church than the Jew. In fact, he says in Galatians 3:28, there is neither Jew nor Greek. Doesn't mean that they aren't there, but they're all on the same level. Male or female. There are females here. But no difference. Bond or free. None of that. Because all are alike in Jesus Christ. So all are children of God by faith, not by works. It eliminates all human presumption. Do we make void the law through faith? Certainly not. God forbid, I think that is. On the contrary, we establish the law. We don't make the law void by believing in Jesus for eternal life. That wasn't the purpose of the law, remember that? The law was not given to give life. The law was given to condemn. And it did a great job of that. The law was established to prepare people for salvation. You can't be saved until you know you're lost. And that's what the law does. The law says, you're lost, you're lost, you're lost. And finally you figure it out. I'm lost. And once I know I'm lost, then I can come to Christ for salvation. Once you've seen that you have a need, then you come to faith to Christ and is saved. And that establishes the law for the lawful use of the law. Plus, salvation is by grace through faith, plus not one thing. So, we can see there is only one way to God. And it's either Jesus or perish. That's it.